most of all, thanks to the Lord for His love and for giving us another opportunity to express that love toward Him. Wonderful. I used to make a mistake by making a comment. And it's one thing to think it, but when you say it, it's even more critical. And I make the statements, boy, God's getting better. Impossibility. He's perfect already. What it is that we get closer to Him and we can understand a little bit more how He loves us. But God is perfect from the beginning. His love toward us has been shown, is shown. And so our life should be about learning more about how to accept that love, how to love Him more. And the more we do, then the more we understand that. So we can't make the statement, God's getting better. It's just that we're more in tune with Him, and we understand that love. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Chronicles. The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. We read in a few verses here, and then we'll go farther. It says in verse 23, sing unto the Lord, all the earth, she forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that is not, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. We have heard from this passage of Scripture about God in His glory, and all the earth should give Him glory. I want to speak to you this morning concerning the thought of how we ought to glorify the Lord. God has in His desire to bless all His people. He already said God wants to bless all the earth, but He can't until the earth learns to bless Him. And it is a pastor's desire that God bless His fold and the people that come to the church that God has assigned Him to. It's His church, and He assigns His pastors to those churches. And the desire of my heart and other pastors, no doubt, is to see God bless His people. And we pray for that. But this morning, we're going to learn what we already should know, and we're going to examine those facts, that the way God is pleased to bless His people is for us to learn to glorify His name. And once we learn that God blesses, you know, I wonder how many percent of the time we pray to God for blessings. You know, bless that person, bless the church, bless me. That's good. And we ought to pray those prayers. But I've learned if I would spend more time in my prayer life telling Him to help me learn to give Him praise, honor, and glory, and glorify His name, the blessings are automatic. So it's not that God withholds His blessings. It's that God is waiting for you and I to be willing and able to submit ourselves to Him afresh and anew every day and to bring glory and honor unto His name. So let's examine in the precious Word of God in other places where our job is to glorify His name, and the first thing we see, He commands it. Why should we have a life that desires to glorify His name? Well, if you love somebody, you want to please them. I love my father and mother, and they did not have to teach me, son, you ought to be willing and you ought to live your life to bring honor and glory and obey my parents. They just taught me that without lecturing. It was just that they loved their parents, and it was instilled in me to be like my mother and father. And how much more does God teach us his love? How he has loved us, demonstrate that on Calvary by sending his precious son to die for us. And Jesus said that he came to glorify the Father. And the way we glorify the Father is to glorify the Son. And if we glorify the Son, we are glorifying the Father too, because Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If you see me, you've seen the Father. So our job, fresh and new, is to learn. The blessings will come. Pray for them all you want to. That's good. We sure do need them. But the best way to get his attention is to bring glory and honor to his son. You parents and grandparents that have children, have had children, and you know one of the most precious things that touches your heart would be for someone else to bestow certain helps or guidelines or just to say something good about that child of yours. And when that child behaves right and does right, I remember having my grandboys in line before it, somewhere where you were there a long time, and there was two little grandboys that I had at the time, and I had two other grandchildren older than that. And when I was with them, their parents taught them to behave, and when they were around my wife and I, we tried to teach them to behave, and they were behaved. And that doesn't go unnoticed. So we go through a line, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and somebody comes and taps you on the shoulder. They don't know. You say, oh, I just want to comment to you what wonderful grandchildren, how well behaved they are. Well, that made me feel good. How much more does our God in heaven look down upon you and I? And when we say something and act responsible and glorify his son, you're getting God the Father's attention real quick. So let's read some scripture together and understand, first of all, the reason we're to bring glory to his name. First of all, is because he commands it. It's a command of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. For you are bought with a price. We're not our own. We're servants of the Most High God. We have been purchased. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've learned three things from this verse. First of all, he commands us, and he has a right to command us because he bought and paid for us at Calvary. He shed his precious blood, and that's the only reason we have the ability to glorify him and praise him and uplift his name, is because he purchased our salvation, and at the same time, he forgave us our sins. He came to live in their heart, rather name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we belong to him. So he said we ought to bring him glory. And how do we do that? He told us so simply. You couldn't miss simple truths like this. We glorify God in our body, first of all. And then he says we glorify God in our spirit. How do we glorify God in our body? Well, he's already told us that we belong to him. Lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, he purchased every bit of it. I know we're in a sin-cursed world, and he that lives within us is greater than he that's in the world. And I know our soul is saved, our spirit is saved, and I know that our body waits for the redemption of the Father, but we're still in this world. We have our aches and pains. We have our struggles. We have all those things. But Paul says, bring your body under subjection, and this body should live right and act right and do right. It includes what we eat, what we drink, what we hear. The body includes a lot of things. What we see and the things that we speak, all these things pertain to the body, and we're to bring honor and glory to God in every bit of it. We could spend the rest of the message this morning talking about how we bring glory to God, should bring glory to God, and do, in fact, bring glory to God in their body, in their living. That includes our attitudes. It includes being willing to follow his instructions. But then he says, we glorify God in their spirit. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ saved us, and our soul is saved, and the spirit that once was broken when we got here, but was restored. Adam's spirit was grabbed. And the day ye eat thereof, Adam, ye shall surely die. Adam was three parts. He was a soul with a spirit inhabited in the body. And in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And he did three ways. He could not communicate with God. His soul was not going to ever be with God anymore. And his body ultimately died. God always has meant what he said and said what he meant. Very simple to understand. And so when you and I got here, our soul was not going to be with God until something happened. Remember in Adam, all men die. But the new Adam, Christ Jesus, came to purchase us. And he did purchase us. So we still have an earthly body. We have thoughts. We have attitudes. We have all these things. And we're to bring glory and honor to him. The way we live, how we react with our fellow man, how we love one another. And you say, oh, I love God with all my heart. And we sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus. Children sing it so beautiful. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first love me, but we don't love God, he said, a bit more than we love our fellow man. So we learn to love our fellow man, and therefore we glorify God in our bodies when we do that. But he said he glorified God in the spirit. And the spirit's able, it's willing, and greater is he that's in us. And the spirit of God has been rekindled, renewed. And Satan would like to put it out. And we sing another song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And Jesus said, let your light so shine that others may see your good works. But then we realize in truth we have no light within ourselves. The only light we have is Christ Jesus in us, the hope of glory. And that light that he is placing us, we didn't let anything carry it up. Because we sin, we transgress, and our thoughts are impure so many times, but we're to overcome that with the Spirit of God, ask forgiveness, and then that Spirit of God that's within us longs for him, can't wait to get to the house of God. We wake up in the morning, and we offer prayers of thanks to him for all the many blessings. You don't take your head off the pillow until you give him thanks for the good night. And then before you go to bed, when you pillow your head at night, you give him thanks for the day. And in doing so, I'm sure that the thoughts we have during the course of the night while we sleep, many times God gives us those thoughts, are to bring honor and glory and praise to him in our spirit that longs for God. So we worship, we adore. So we're commanded by God to do these things. And when we do that, he confers on us his blessing. Look what he says in the last part of that verse. For you bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when we do those things, he blesses us. But then also, he gives us some promises. If you'll do that, then my blessings will be bestowed upon you. I'll confer on you the blessings. Malachi teaches us that in heaven, in the storehouse of blessings, you can't imagine all the blessings that God would like to give his people. He majors on blessing those that belong to him. But the way he does that is in proportion to the way we glorify him in our body and in our spirit. All the blessings of God are proportional to how we receive them. In Psalm chapter 50, verse 14 and 15. We're told also that we give to God, we offer to God, we give to him which already belongs to him, but he says offer to him. And we ask the question while you're turning to this. How do you glorify God? We're learning more to glorify him. Glorifying God is to set him apart in our life, to put his ways above our ways, because his ways are much higher than our ways, and we honor him by obeying the precious word of God, by just agreeing with him without controversy. Psalms 50:14, offering to God thanksgiving. and pay the vows unto the Most High God, unto the Most High. How many times have we made vows to Him in our lifetime? And He remembers them all. We may try to pretend He doesn't, but He does. How many vows have you and I individually vowed to God on certain occasions? Sometimes when bad things happen, oh God, if you'll help me out of this fix. Or other times when we desire a special thing, we are quick to make vows unto Him. Well, this verse says, offering to Him thanksgiving for all the things. We have a Thanksgiving season, and we particularly spend a lot of time giving Him thanks and honor during those days. But every day He's offering to Him thanksgiving. He confers on us His blessings, and now with the confidence that He has given us, the commandment, He confines us to certain areas and certain sections and certain abilities. He gives us those confinements, and we're to give thanks to Him for that. Paul says, in every state I have learned to give God thanks. May you give God thanks in the shipwrecks. I used to read those verses, and I said, how in the world? I know I believe the Word of God, and I believe Paul, when he was under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writing those things. But he says, I have learned, it's a learning process, to give God thanks in every situation. And I would think, Paul, you were in prison, you were outcast, you were beaten, you were left, and you learned to give God thanks in every situation. Yes, he does, because it was commanded of him. It was conferred upon him that if you get the blessings, Paul, he told Paul when he first chose him, Saul, it's going to be a rough course for you. I'm going to send you places, and you're going to suffer hardships like no other has suffered, perhaps, except the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't an easy way, but in the midst of all the hardships, he learned, and he so stayed, to give God thanks. So the verse says, offering to God thanksgiving and pay the vows unto the Most High. The vows that we have pledged. God, if you'll save me, if you'll do this, I'll do this and I'll do that. And then the next verse. And call upon me in the day of trouble. He desires that when we are in trouble, and it's better to pray ahead of time, Lord, I know trouble awaits me. The world will see to it. Satan will see to it. And even my body, that's not always under subjection to you, but it should be. Trouble's coming. And when the trouble comes, help me offer a sacrifice of praise. Don't let me be griping and complaining and looking to my own ways, but let me learn in all the trouble that is delivered to me, whether you send it or whether Satan sends it, trouble's coming. That I know. But help me bring honor and glory to you during that trouble. And he tells us that when we are in trouble, call upon me in the day of trouble. And he did say, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Look at those last three verses. Trouble's coming, given. Don't like it. Tribulation worketh patience. Sometimes God needs to give tribulation in their life to teach us patience, because God will get every one of us to the fact that we will be patient, patiently awaiting Him, patiently desiring Him. He said, I'll deliver you. That's not the problem. The problem might be that during the trouble and while I deliver you from it, your job is to glorify me. Did you see that? After trouble comes, it's coming. Pray to God, seek His face, and in the midst of the trouble, the one thing, we want to get through the trouble, do we not? And sometimes it's so bad and so severe, we really don't know how. We don't really in our heart want to even think about what we're going to. Just get me through the trouble. That's all we can think about. But he says, oh, when I do deliver you, and I will, your job is, don't forget this, glorify me. Glorify him because he has put us through the trouble. You say, that's hard to do. It is somewhat hard to do, and the flesh has a lot of trouble in it. But remember, we're supposed to glorify him in the body and in the spirit. And greater is he that's on the inside than he that's in the world. And that spirit that's within us enables us to bring him glory. And the commandments of God are sure. He wants to confer on us. And our confinement is in certain situations, certain locations. And trouble's coming. He is going to deliver us from it. And remember this. When it's through, and after it's over, and during the time of it, we are to glorify him. That is a commandment of God. And then he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. We're going to read about 4 or 5 verses here. Love Peter. I love all the apostles, but love Peter perhaps more than any of them. John, of course, but Peter. He was the one that went through all the hardships and all the learning processes that most of us go through. He did walk on water, which none of us has or will. None of the other disciples did. But he didn't brag about it, did he? He didn't ever one time say, yeah, hey, remember, guys, I was the one that had enough faith at one time to walk on water. See, if we ever do excel, it's him, Christ Jesus, that helped us excel. And we don't brag about it. We just learn to give him glory for it. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Now, this is important. If any man speak, that's you, that's me, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom the praise and dominion be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So if we speak, whatever we do, God gives us ability. We do it unto the Lord. And the reason we do it is to glorify him through Jesus Christ for all things. Commandment of God. But listen to the rest of it. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So God, remember now, he's talking about ahead of time, before he says that trouble's coming, he will deliver us from it, and after it's over and during it, we glorify him. But now he's telling us pretty much the same thing in the New Testament. If we speak, we speak of the oracles of God. If we minister, do it to the ability that God gave us. It's not your own ability. It's not my own ability. Don't have any without he gives it to us. And the reason he's given it is one reason. And the reason we're so thrilled to be able to receive it and give him credit for it is to bring glory to his name during the course of it. You can't miss these simple truths. And we give him honor and glory, and the whole purpose of everything is to give him glory. Now, just in case we're not willing to do that, then he gives us verse 12. Sometimes when the fiery trials come, we think this is a strange occurrence. He said it wasn't. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Why does God permit, orchestrate, plan, organize some fiery trials through us? It could be that we're not learning to glorify him during the troubles, during the deliverance. And so he can and will, if needed, give us fiery trials. And I'm to thank God for those too. Because it's not strange. This is what he does to keep us in mind of the commandments so he can confer on us. As though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. Rejoice after it's over, yes. And rejoice during it. You say, that's a hard time. But I'm telling you, when you learn to do that, that's when he, the Father, through the Son, confers and confines you to areas in your life that you never would have believed before. And as we heard the testimony of Brother Roger, and after a while we're going to hear Brother Charles Henderson tell us about some new opportunities we have next Sunday. And just looking back in their life, who are we that God would even have chosen us and saved us? And the reason he did was to bring honor and glory to his name, to get us all the way through this dark, cruel world. And while we're getting through it, delivering us from trials and troubles over and over again for the reason, of course he loves us, but the reason he's doing it primarily is that we, during it, are bringing glory to his name through our body, through the Spirit, through the trials. The world is looking on. And once they see you and I, if we're able to, during the trouble, they will think and probably even say, I couldn't have gone through that situation you did without being bitter, but you did it. You'll be able to say, and they'll be able to give God the glory for it, because he within you helped you, gave you the ability to do it, and during the time of it, you gave him honor and glory. So we don't think it's a strange thing. It's God's plan. But rejoice in as much as you're partakers. Learn to rejoice no matter what he sends your way. Never even think that God's treated you wrong. Impossibility. God can't do wrong. God orders, he orchestrates, he plans these events for our life. Look what he says. Partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. Stop and analyze some situations that's happened in your life. You look back on them, and during the time of it, you think, boy, I can't go through this. I'm sure I'm thinking of some of you right now, and I know just a few things you've gone through. And during the time of it, you gave God glory. And after he delivered you, you gave him glory. Can you imagine how God has conferred and conveyed on you blessings because of the way you were able to do that? But now look at this verse. But rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. Can you imagine, and I'm sure you can, when you in heaven with him, looking back, if he allows us to do so, to see all the glory he gives us with him and all the glory that he gives the Father. This is my bride. Can you imagine? Jesus standing before the Father and looking over the thresholds, and he's able to see everyone as well as the next one at the same time. He's God. And seeing the million of his saints that's lived throughout ages, and you were one of them, and I'm one of them. And him being willing to, and knowing and remembering everything, all the times you gave him honor and glory, and that brought glory to his name. And now the Father and the Son are looking at all that. This is my bride. I purchased him with my own blood. And we, the great bride of Christ, is going to be standing there looking back if he allows us to do so. I'm not sure how much looking back we'll do. A lot of times people say, I don't understand what I'm going through, but one of these days I'll tell him about it, ask him about it, and he'll explain it. You might, and that's a possibility, maybe. But then I look at some other verses of Scripture that really has a bearing on me. Because sometimes if you look back at trials, it brings tears. But he says all tears are wiped away. All former things are past. There'll be enough new and enough praising and enough glorifying going on. And I don't think you're going to be too concerned about some little fiery trial that you didn't understand during the time of it. It will be pretty insignificant. May be very significant now, but remember the reason you were going through it, according to his word, is to learn to give him glory during it and praising his name and even being allowed to thank him for letting me go through this, because there's glory you can get from it that I wouldn't have been able to give you had I not gone through this fiery trial. Think it not strange, my brother. See, God looks at the whole picture. He even allows us to kind of glimpse sometime of what's going on. So while we're going through the fiery trials and the troubles, which you will, it will continue. Deliverance is coming. Our job is to bring glory to his name. We've got to keep reading. Verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. We're living in a time where when we rejoice with one another, we get out in the world and the world hates us because they don't really hate you as bad. They hate Christ. They can't get to him. And you're the closest thing they can get that reminds you of Christ. So we will suffer, and you'll be reproached for the name of Christ. And we think that's a bad thing. Well, he don't agree with us. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. God gets glory out of your life and mine when the world brings reproach on you and hates you and despises you and does evil things against you because we serve him. And if you bear it with that grumbling and mumbling and thanking God that he allows you to be willing and to bear the name of Christ, it's evil for the world, but it's glory. And you can praise God and glorify him during the time of it. And you never would have been able to do that had the world not hated you and brought reproach on you. Don't think it's strange. These things are for you now that we can glorify him. And when we glorify him, remember what happens? He conveys and confers on you his blessings. And it all started out with the world hating you and doing something bad to you because you love Christ. He said, rejoice. Blessings are coming. Oh, help us, Lord, to see the full picture. Verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So when the suffering comes, trouble comes, and it's coming, has come, will come. It's okay. Deliverance is coming, and three times we've learned from different places in the Word of God that God can and will get the glory, and after he gets the glory, the blessings come. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Seems like over and over and over and over again, I preach almost every message, no matter what it is, there's something in it relating to the fact about anything worth anything is going to begin in the house of God. Here it is again. Can't mistake it. Where does it happen at? Judgment must begin in the house of God. Why, preacher, do you put so much emphasis on serving and worshiping in God's house? Simple. Because he does. All the way through the Word of God. His house. More important than my house or your house. The things God gives us, and I know it has been dedicated to him. It belongs to him. We belong to him. And it begins at the house of God. We're here this morning, and if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Gives us further determination that because we love others and because Christ loved us and we love others and he loved others, that we do not want this judgment upon that generation. And the only way they're going to escape it is you and I live a life of pleasing. And they watch us during the trouble. And we bring honor and glory to him. And they don't hear anything in their life about mumbling and grumbling. God wasn't fair. How are you going to win the lost if they ever hear you or act like God wasn't fair to you or God didn't treat you right? You have lost a witness to them forever. They'll never forget that. But on the other hand, don't have to say a word. But when the trouble comes, they just keep you, they watch you serve. And they watch you keep on serving. And they watch the tears in your eyes. And you give thanks to God for even allowing the trouble to come because you're glorifying him. And they'll break their heart like nothing else could. And pretty soon. I remember a story of Jerry Harold Smith. Others have heard it. How he had just got his degree and he was a doctor now in Greenville, South Carolina. Sitting on his sister's porch. And his sister, godly woman that she was, looked at him and said, Harold, you've tried everything the devil's got to offer. when are you going to give your heart to God and give him a chance in your life? That made him so mad. He says, as I was turning toward her to tell her to mind her own business, I saw tears. I saw compassion. Immediately I bowed my knees, on my knees, on the porch. That brought conviction to my life. And God saved me. And before I got up, I promised him, and he called me to be a Baptist preacher. He said I couldn't be nothing else. I already told God I was going to be a Baptist preacher. And he lived a life and was able to win millions of people. How did it start? His sister asked a question. Not a probing question. Not pointing her finger in his eyes. But tears. Brokenness. Concern. And that's what led him to Jesus. And you and I, oh, we can scold him. We can fuss at him. He's something better. Look at him with a broken heart. And from that heart of love that wants them to be able to have the blessings you have and the peace you have with God and go to a place that you're going to be with him so you and they can glorify him all the way home. And that will come out. And you'll be glorifying him in your body and in your spirit. You'll bear witness to it. God will be blessed and others will be blessed. We have to hurry. In Psalms 50, 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. How glorify God? Whoso offers praise. Praise for what? Anything and everything. Praise for salvation. Praise for health. Offer praise to God, thanksgiving, honor, glory. And he says, in so doing, you glorify him. You know what happens after that. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I shew the salvation of God. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on me to praise him in every situation. And the rest is automatic. It's already a done deal. Romans 1:23, we're closing. Brother Randy, if you'll have a song, God gives you an invitation. Everybody doesn't do that. We pray for those that don't. They change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Others won't do this. We pray for them also. They don't bring glory to God. They worship other devices, but their heart, compassion, concern, and their prayer life, and their body, and their soul, we're around them, they see us, and we have conversations with them, but we give God glory and honor in sickness and in health, in every situation. It will bring conviction on their heart. Romans 4:20. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Talking about some of the former saints of old. And God remembers every act and every deed of every individual. He knows whether or not we've given honor and praise to him. Many of us have failed. It doesn't mean we have to remain a failure. Look what he says in Romans 15:7. Wherefore ye receive ye one another as Christ also receiveth us, the glory of God. Christ receiveth us, the glory of God. What's our job? To receive one another. Hey, I know we could write books about our behaviors and what one's done to another. Overlook it. Give God glory that he has given us the opportunity. The bearer of the hurt. Christ Jesus, remember, went to Calvary, not much being said about him that was good, but God got the glory for it. When people say all manners of things, you say, yeah, but they were Christian. So what? Christ suffered, and when we receive that suffering, for whatever reason it is, we're bringing glory to God. Would you stand? 1 Corinthians 10:31 in summation. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, this covers it all. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to glory of God. And so doing, you're glorifying His name. You know what happens then. He conveys on you His blessings. He just loves you to bring glory to His Son. And He's got all the blessings in heaven. Malachi says He wants to pour them out on you. One condition remaineth for those to be set in your direction. We learn to glorify Him in everything. Brother Randy, what song are we singing?